City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 198, heading towards 200. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Stephen Rader.
And we're hanging out at the theater building at the intermission of Nine, the fabulous musical based on Federico Fellini, I guess, is the...
Yes, eight and a half.
Eight and a half, right? And we're here with Porchlight Theater is producing this production, and you've worked with Porchlight before.
I've worked with Porchlight a lot.
Yeah.
I've worked with them a lot, just doing a lot of things, but I'd say this is like the best Porchlight show ever, and this is the best musical in town right now. We haven't even seen the second act, we're ready to say that.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
Brilliant.
Really brilliant. Jeff Parker in the lead as Guido is just stunning. He looks very sexy. I know he's got a voice of the gods.
He ain't hard to look at.
No, he's not hard to look at.
And he's singing like a million bucks. Danielle Brothers is breathtaking, doing Folies Bergères. Kristen Freilich is playing the mother.
Yeah.
Singing a song I've never liked, making it make sense, and I just fell in love with the time to come. Oh, is it, I'll be 40 and you'll be 9, whatever that song is.
Nine.
And then Bethany Thomas just ripped the freaking walls off the building, singing Be Italian. So, like, what? How do you tie
and
this?
And is this young woman who's very tall playing his wife, looks like Sharon Stone.
Hello.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, if she flashes us, we'll be over.
We'll be...
you know, but it's amazing. Like, what are they going to do? How are they going to bring this... over what they've already done. They're going to bring in Liza and Lorna. What are they going to do in this
second act? We'll definitely let everybody know because we'll come back after Act
it's
1.
Really, really great.
And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous day here in Chicago. The
beautiful.
Sun is out. It finally feels like springtime in the gayborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Did you cruise today?
Last night I walked out to get my groceries and do all that kind of stuff, and I was like, they were out like cockroaches. It was crazy.
Yeah.
They were all out in numbers. It was wonderful.
I have had such a theatrical weekend. I have to tell people, I went to go see The Drowsy Chaperone on Friday night, which was serious fun. I have not seen it.
Yes.
Totally charming.
I really want to see that.
Good for people who are theater people because... breaks down on the construct of kind of like going to see a musical, and at the same time really great for people who don't love musical theater,
sort of,
I think, because it kind of pokes
musicals.
Fun at it. And then I went to go to the opening of Dead Man's Cell Phone yesterday at Steppenwolf, the new Sarah Rule play.
And?
I think she's the last great romantic writer today in American theater.
Wow.
I mean, bizarre and quirky as we've come to know and love from Sarah, but...
What three different shows could you have seen?
Well, that, and then of course I had a little night of cabaret last night at Davenport's, hanging out with some friends, seeing
Becky
Tom
Lindsay
Michael and Becky Lindsay, doing their travel show.
Oh my God.
So it's really felt like a smorgasbord. I actually did kind of look at my gal today and said, I don't know if I can do four shows in a weekend again, but you know, I walked into here thinking I'm going to be tired, and I've just been so revived by this show today.
It's gorgeous. And the lights. We have to see the lights.
the lights.
The choreography and the costumes are brilliant, but there's just sort of a white palette, and it's the lights can do so many different things. It's really a brilliant show. I'm a bitch. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
It really is. You have to come and see this.
It's running, I think, through May 18th.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is that they're making this is the next big musical being made in this movie trend now of movie musicals.
Yes.
Chicago.
Yes.
And
Javier Bardem is playing Guido Guarantini.
Is it Javier, not Antonio?
Mm-hmm. No.
Because he did it on Broadway.
Yeah, Javier Bardem was cast before he got the Oscar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's going to be pretty phenomenal. Any word on any of the women?
I heard that Sophia Loren was playing the mother.
And is Salma Hayek in it as well, did I hear?
You know,
or Penelope Cruz. They're interchangeable sometimes for me.
Same person.
They really are. They're like LaToya and Michael.
America, you know, the same. They're all the same person. No. I don't know. I mean, I read about it. It was all speculation, but I know he's playing Guido.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant. This is,
I
don't know the woman's name. I'm blanking on her name. Maybe you talk and I'll look her up her name. Who's not wearing any clothes? I'm not.
Oh, who's like a little Bernadette Peters type redheaded. Who was the original woman that played that? Wasn't she on Taxi or something? You know who I'm thinking of? The redhead that was in the cat suit in the old original album?
Yes, in the original. But you know what she did? The woman in the cat suit? I don't know her name. We'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
But I heard that it was all this sort of like meshy lace. She didn't think it revealed enough of her. This is what I'm saying. Allegedly.
This is the original cast.
The original cast. She cut the nipples out. This is Broadway.
Yeah.
Cut the nipples out.
I love her.
And so straight men everywhere were like, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. I got something to see at the musical. Who is this woman who played?
Is it Maggie Portman?
Let's see.
I think it is.
Look at us, like, we have to know. Because she's.
I think it's Maggie Portman.
Can you see who that.
It's over there.
Says Carla.
Yeah.
Carla.
Maggie Portman.
Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant.
And Wally's direction is just.
It's really
fantastic. Not even spot on, it's beyond spot on. It's really brilliant. It's really brilliant.
Well, world class musical theater here in
Listen
Chicago.
Listen to us. This isn't a review. We're like loving it.
We are. We're just gushing because this is the moment and this is where we are.
It really is great.
Now, we're going to talk about some other things on the show today. We've got to talk about Dolly later on being on The Idol, the most ungay Idol episode ever. And how did that possibly happen
with
Dolly there?
Come on, when you've got Dolly, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
How do you top that?
And we're also going to talk about a man having a baby on Oprah. Is Oprah the biggest supporter of the trans community right now?
I think
it is just something for us to talk about.
We're going to find out the Gales of Man. That's what we're going to find out.
The Gales of Man.
I'm kidding.
Stay with us. This is going to be a big packed show.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Taxicab Over-Accessorizer.
Mr. Taxicab Over-Accessorizer.
Bobbleheads, tropical air freshener, an antique chandelier. You've got it all covered in tinsel and Mardi Gras beads.
I can't see the road.
When it comes to interior design, you don't trust anything that can't be plugged into a cigarette lighter.
Can I use your toaster?
No matter where they're going, your passengers always ask the same question. Is this a taxicab or a Turkish bazaar?
How much for the candelabra?
So take a day off and crack open an ice cold Bud Light night of the knick-knack. Because only you can proudly say, yes, I do have junk in my trunk.
Mr. Taxicab over says
Bud Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 6, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Vitalist Theater, in association with Premier Theater and Performance, presents A Passage to India, now playing through May 18th at the Theater Building, Chicago. When a naive young English woman in colonial India befriends a Muslim doctor, destructive forces are unleashed in E.M. Forster's saga of imperialism, passion, and prejudice. Visit vitalisttheater.org for more information, or call 773-327-5252 for tickets.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents Around the World in 80 Days, starting April 16th. This world premiere adventure follows Phileas Fogg as he races around the world to save his fortune. Looking Glass Theater is in the historic Water Tower Waterworks at Michigan Avenue at Pearson Street. For tickets to Around the World in 80 Days, visit lookingglasstheater.org or call 312-337-0665.
Remy Bumbo Theater Company presents Bronte by Polly Teal. This inventive drama explores the question of how a trio of Victorian spinsters could have written some of the most passionate literature of all time. Bronte runs March 20th through May 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and more information, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumbo.org.
Newt Rockne, All American, is a vibrant and inspiring world premiere musical celebrating the life of the man who created American college football, and it's only coming to the theater at the Center. Playing April 3rd through May 11th, tickets are going fast. Call now, 219-836-3255, or visit theateratthecenter.com for this world premiere musical, Newt Rockne, All American, at the Theater at the Center, professional theater close to home.
Gay playwright Joel Drake Johnson, author of Before My Eyes and The End of the Tour, is back at Victory Gardens with his latest dark comedy, Four Places, serving up family dysfunction since 1955. For a dose of delicious family humor mixed with a bit of heartache, go see this surprising new comedy. Playing now through May 4th at the Victory Gardens Biograph. Call 773-871-3000 or visit victorygardens.org.
Laughter is truly the best medicine when Julian is forced to move in with his ex-wife and her husband to recuperate from an illness in the world premiere of Better Late. This brand new comedy from the writer of MASH and the creator of ABC's Dirty Sexy Money plays at Northlight Theater through May 11th with an all-star cast including John Mahoney, Linda Kimbrough, Steve Key, and Mike Nussbaum. For more on Better Late or to purchase tickets, visit northlight.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Pretty women, fascinating, sipping coffee, dancing.
Sweeney Todd kills London's unsuspecting upper crust. Mrs. Lovett bakes them in a pie crust. Together, they'll stop at nothing for revenge or for love. See this diabolical duo as never before in this hair-raising, fiendishly delightful new production of Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd, an event the Wall Street Journal says theatergoers will be talking about for years to come.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Judy Kaye and David Hess star in the Tony Award-winning Sweeney Todd, the show Rolling Stone calls the greatest musical of the 20th century.
What happened then? Well, that's the play, and he wouldn't want us to give it away.
Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd. Justice will be served.
Coming April 23rd through May 4th to the Cadillac Palace Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
All right, so now we are back from the end of 9. We're hanging out. This is the podcast from the car.
The podcast from the theater?
The podcast from the car. I'm reclining.
People will say things. There's a man and a woman reclined in a car. My father's so happy right now.
Yeah.
Look, Amy and Steven are kissing.
It could have happened. And then we would have had an ugly divorce. Or we would have had guest bedrooms, plural, with friends who were house guests constantly. So what was your take? You loved it? Act two as good as act one?
I did. It's a difficult show. And Walter Stearns really navigated a lot of the problems of the show so well. And there were so many things that he tied together, like the bathtub, a lot of it really worked. And I didn't know the show could be brought together that well.
Yeah.
I think
it's a complicated
best.
Show. I wonder what they'll do with it in a film.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's almost operatic in a way that there aren't scenes to kind of tie it together.
And I realized that the Germans at the Spa was gone. Remember that song?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank God.
That damn song. And I don't know. I really, really enjoyed it. They didn't do the white at the end of the show. People that don't know the show are like, what the fuck are they talking about? But, you know, usually they turn into all white versions of those costumes, and they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And tell them what you realized when you were sitting in the audience with me, that you'd seen my college production.
I had seen your college production in Knoxville, Tennessee.
And, of course, I was not in it.
No, because there's only one guy in it.
And I played the nun. No.
And you played the
nun. No. But I remember seeing it quite a few times.
Yeah.
And then we were doing Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
The Gayer play.
Yes.
And you were in that one.
We used all those set pieces, cut them up, and painted them, and that's what we used for our set.
There you go.
Yes, there you are.
It's the way we recycle. We keep it green in Tennessee. So, speaking of Tennessee, it has been quite a Dolly week, and I would be remiss if you and I didn't talk a little bit.
We talk about
Idol, and we could be a Dolly pod.
Parton pod.
Dolly's pods. That was something. I don't know. The pod people of Dolly. But I didn't know she was going to be on. You probably
did. I didn't
either. Okay. Neither of us knew she was going to be on. And, you know, Simon Cowell, like, really fucking hates Dolly Parton is kind of what I gathered, or hated what they did with Dolly Parton
songs.
Music.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really, what I realized is you can't do a Dolly song in a minute and a half.
No.
You can't. No. She looked fabulous.
Yeah, she did.
I thought she was her charming self with each one of the kids.
Yeah.
I could truly tell Michael Johns was starstruck to meet her and a bit weepy, which I thought was really sweet for the rocker.
Well, it's her. You know
what
I mean?
Dolly.
She's sort of overwhelming, and that's what she's built. But, I mean, of course, my stupid TiVo did not pick up
you
the
call
first
me.
Night. I know.
And any of you all can come.
And
you
no
know,
one told me. So all my American Idol friends who watch it, I was always saying, look, when the Dolly thing comes, let me know. No. So
I totally would have.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
But it's okay because I watched a lot of them on YouTube and whatnot.
Yep.
But if you're doing a Dolly Parton song, do you do, in your right mind, would you go, I'm going to sing Coat of Many Colors? It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
like, but I felt like that was the safest choice she could have made.
Really?
Because she did the Shania Twain version of it, and I think she was kind of saved a tiny bit by doing it.
I'm Liza Minnelli. I'm going to do Cabaret. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to sing Cabaret for Liza Minnelli. No.
Yeah.
No.
Did you think they raked Saisha over the coals too much for I Will Always Love You? I actually thought she was amazing.
I thought she was great, you know. But I'd love to hear that song done the Dolly way, where you talk the third verse, you know.
That would have been nice.
I hope life treats you good. You know, I love that stuff.
And I
stuff.
Hope you have all
that. You have a dream. Sort of a Shatner in the third verse of that, isn't
joy.
It? I wish you joy and
such happiness.
And above all, this Spock.
Exactly, Spock.
I wish you love. Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, but I, you know, it was kind of an underwhelming Idol for some reason.
Which makes no sense because she's one of the greatest songwriters ever.
And she sang Jesus and Gravity, and she sort of was wonderful at that.
She was a rock star.
Of course, my mother called, and she was like, she looks horrible.
Really?
Mother called. And then all of Mother's friends called and said, now, don't tell that to Stephen because he's a Dolly fan. You're going to hurt his feelings. She's like, I have an opinion, and she looks horrible.
She looks like
the Joker, is what my mother said.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah. All right, Mrs. Rader.
Then she's like, she doesn't sound good. I'm like, well, can you do what you did at 20 now? No.
Yeah. I thought she sounded pretty good, actually. I was impressed. But she was cinched up in that white getup, so I don't know how she breathes.
Well, I don't think she's cinched up. I think that's like her bone.
Yeah.
I don't think she's really got any weight on her at all, which
is,
you know, scary.
She's a tiny girl.
I'm telling you.
Well, you know, friend of Dolly. Miss
Frindo Dolly.
Oprah.
Yes.
Oprah. It's a big week for the talk show hosts. And we'll talk about talk show host making good and talk show host making bad. And we'll talk about talk show host making good right now. And then we'll come back and talk about the badness that went on this week. But I really think that Oprah Winfrey now is the new trans ally.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that if gays and lesbians have PFLAG, then the trans community has Oprah. Because this episode this week...
I didn't see it.
No. Oh, okay. So there was this, you know, People magazine,
God.
Man having a baby, man pregnant.
Yeah.
Obviously trans man. And...
So he's post-operative, pre-operative? Pre-operative.
He's post.
He's post-operative.
Went off of his testosterone for 2 years to get pregnant with his wife. First of all, let's just say...
And she can't have a child? Is this
She
it?
Can't have a child.
Now it's
she has
sense.
No she has no uterus, so he had a child and he's pregnant without testosterone.
So he already has he hasn't had the child. And he's never
but he has a penis. I mean,
he never gave birth to a child.
Shrunk now based on because the lack of testosterone makes his clitoris, which would have formerly been a clitoris, you know, I'm assuming retract.
Yeah.
But Oprah kind of asked the questions. I mean, she asked the physical questions.
Yeah.
You know, so it's extremely fascinating. Didn't ask if it was going to be by cesarean or what the birthing situation would be like, wow. or lactating or breastfeeding. None of those questions were asked. But simply, first of all, he is stunning. Part Asian,
uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Gorgeous. Was gorgeous as a woman, gorgeous as a man.
Yeah.
I mean, handsome guy. But, you know, I feel... Oprah said, why did you do this? Or why did you come on my show? And he said, many people in the trans community warned us against this.
Warned them?
Yes.
Really? Why?
That, that America wasn't ready. That even though they're legally married, and if he's carrying a child, also like having the child taken away from them. I mean, just so many things
legally,
because there's never been a legal precedent for this.
Well, if it's...
Because it's a trans man.
Who gave the sperm?
A donor.
A donor.
They had a donor.
Really, can they?
I don't know, but I mean...
What are they going to do? There's not going to be a guy pregnant. They're going to, like, let that happen in society. No one's going to tell somebody about it.
Well, and that was the thing, too. That
and when Oprah calls,
said,
you go.
Yeah, well, basically they said, we want to tell our story.
Yeah.
And the wife's... was formerly married and had her two daughters there who were drop-dead gorgeous.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful grown women, young grown women.
And they're in support of this.
Totally in support of this. Talked about the stability of this couple and their mom and him. And really, I mean, I just look back on Oprah doing this trans youth story,
yeah.
now doing this story, really exploring for America the difference between sexual orientation and gender identity. It's just radical, radical stuff. I feel like
maybe she could tell homosexuals that. Maybe
yeah.
she could explain that to homosexuals who don't believe that, you know, transgendered people should be a part of ENDA, that we should allow them to walk away.
Well,
you know, we'll
and
drop
this is
that.
A part of our current news this week, so you'll be hearing some about that this week
so
from Kirk
maddening
Williamson.
To me.
Yeah.
It really is maddening to me. I don't understand how we're just dealing with, or we're just celebrating, or not celebrating, but acknowledging that 40 years ago, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. But, you know, when you think about what that man said and about how he talked about how, you know, taking I've forgotten what the exact quote is, but sort of delaying mm-hmm. justice is no justice at all.
Right.
And by us sort of, I feel like we have really thrown the transgender community to the wayside with this end of thing.
Yep, we've thrown them under the truck.
And here's Oprah.
Yeah.
Explain it. You know, Oprah explains it all for you, you know?
Well, and, you know, she is the forum in which to do that. I mean, if you want to tell your story, and then most people are going to see it and have to look at it.
And did she actually say, why did you want to do this?
The pregnancy?
Yeah,
or
the pregnancy.
The talk on Oprah. The pregnancy was because he always wanted to have a child.
Yeah.
And kept his...
well, that's
ovaries
just an easy
intact.
Question, you know. Why did you want to have a child? Well,
and knew that he would not be able to have one with, because he was with his wife before he fully transitioned, and knew that this might be an option one day, the only way that they could have a child.
Sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So,
wow.
Really, really, really stunning story. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I wonder what kind of feedback Oprah has gotten from it. You know.
Did you see The Soup on Friday?
No, tell me.
The Soup said...
Talk Soup.
Yeah, Talk Soup. Joel McHale, my future boyfriend, he doesn't know it yet. They were outside of their house, apparently, saying, you know, well, our neighbors don't know, and it's going to be hard for me when I'm showing... for them not to know. And he said, we're on the porch and I'm afraid the neighbors are going to hear. And he said, and Joel McHale went, do your neighbors have a television? Like, what do you think? You're on Oprah.
Yeah.
Oprah. Come on.
Well, obviously the news crews have already flooded their neighborhood. Now, the interesting thing is that Oprah now is using Skype. Which you and I use, and the other co-hosts who are on the Queercast.
Oh,
we use Skype to record sometimes when we're not face-to-face. On the internets. And it's so funny now that Oprah is all into the Skype. You know, she's Skyping from places, and she's getting down with her. She's not a Luddite anymore. Like, Oprah was more of a Luddite than I was before I
came
into...
What is this word, Luddite?
Like, people who don't like technology, don't like...
Oh. Why do we call those people Luddites?
I don't know.
Luddites. Why don't we call them smart? I'm kidding.
Yes, uncomplicated.
Uncomplicated, exactly.
Able to focus on the person sitting across
from
them.
So she's embracing her technology. She has like, her own YouTube channel.
She didn't even know what YouTube was like 6 months ago. Now she's on the Skype. Pretty soon she's going to take over our QueerCast. She's already on the satellite. She is literally just like
she's taking
sucking
over
up from the Mormons. From the Mormons who used to control all the media. Now it's Oprah.
Have you seen this thing on YouTube? Speaking of YouTube and Oprah, there's a thing on YouTube talking about, you know, this thing she's doing, One Earth, One World.
Yeah, a new Earth.
Yeah, they're a good Earth, a new Earth, whatever.
Yeah.
There's this Christian group saying that Oprah is trying to destroy Christianity by saying that, you know, your faith or what have you can be found within. That you might find Jesus Christ is your salvation, and someone else might find light or a higher being, and that's all the same thing. And they're just saying Oprah Winfrey is against Jesus, and this is who's trying to kill Christianity. It's amazing. Just watching it, I was like, you're kidding, right?
Well, anything that gets more media attention than Jesus to those type of Christian people, those radicals, you know, it's Harry Potter for a while. Harry Potter was taking over
Dungeons and Dragons.
Jesus,
when I was a kid.
I'm sure it's Elvis for some people, and for others,
he's not dead.
Might be Oprah.
Elvis is not dead.
No. Like Jesus.
Elvis, Jesus, Oprah.
Yes,
that's all we're saying.
And Cher.
But it's amazing the power that this woman has.
She has it. She wields it. I mean,
good for her for doing the transgender story.
I think it's huge, and I think it's wonderful that she continues to have this conversation. And I hope GLAAD and some of these media people really next year honor her, because like they're honoring Janet Jackson this year, and I'm not quite sure what the shit that's about. Like, what has she done for the gay community? Oprah has done a ton for the gay community this past year.
What has Janet done? What has Janet done for us lately?
What has she done for us lately? We'll be back.
Broadway's Tony-winning smash hit musical Avenue Q is for you.
If you've ever put out the garbage.
If you've ever put out.
If you're in the closet.
If your friend's in the closet.
If your coat's in the closet.
If you're in college.
If you wish you were back in college.
If you're a Democrat.
A Republican.
A Scientologist.
A gynecologist.
If you're a potty mouth.
If you're a potty animal.
If you want a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical with something for everyone.
Avenue Q is for you.
May 27th through June 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News. Over 1,000 people rallied at the state capitol in support of Oklahoma State Rep. Sally Kern, the Republican from Oklahoma City. Kern has been under fire after comparing homosexuality to terrorism during a speech posted on YouTube. The lawmaker refuses to apologize. Kern told the crowd, "What has happened to me has served to advance the gospel and those who want to stand up for the truth of God's word."
Democratic Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy leads the fight for a federal ban on job discrimination based on sexual orientation. The ban does not include protections for the transgender community, however. Last year, the House approved a bill by Representative Barney Frank, which also excludes the trans community. Many GLBT organizations are opposed to any legislation that excludes protections for trans people.
New York City's openly lesbian city council speaker is under federal investigation. Christine Quinn is reportedly under federal investigation for allegedly hiding millions of dollars in city money in a secret slush fund. Quinn allegedly hid $4.7 million by giving the money to fake organizations such as Coalition for a Strong Special Education and others. The money reportedly went to pay off political allies in return for favors.
A gay Kansas student charged with harassment will be allowed to return to his high school without being expelled. The out student allegedly harassed a fellow classmate in the school bathroom. However, the teen said that he was unfairly accused because he is gay. He was found to be not guilty.
The Justice Department's Inspector General, charged with looking into the firings of U.S. attorneys under former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, is investigating whether or not an attorney was let go after rumors that she is a lesbian surfaced. Many thought attorney Leslie Hagan did not have her contract renewed due to the rumors. Hagen worked as a liaison between the Justice Department and the U.S. Attorney's Committee on Native American Issues. Hagen, even months after being let go, received a superb job evaluation.
It appears that rocker Marilyn Manson's ex-wife and model Dita Von Tessy has a lesbian porn past. Clips from a lesbian porn video with Von Tessy recently surfaced on the internet. The model, known for helping make burlesque more mainstream, was just signed as Wonder Bra's new model.
So that's why I didn't get the call from them. Late night talk show host Jay Leno apologized for an anti-gay comment he made during his interview with actor Ryan Phillippe. Leno asked Phillippe, who played a gay teen on the ABC soap opera One Life to Live, to give him his gayest look. Phillippe refused to play along, saying, "Wow, that is so something I don't want to do." Leno apologized after coming under attack, saying, "I realize that what I said came out wrong. I certainly didn't mean any malice. I agree it was a dumb thing to say, and I apologize." And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hey guys, this is Miss Cleo. I want you to listen to Windy City Queercast.
Buying or selling a home? John Sanfilippo can help. John knows Chicago. John knows our community. John knows real estate. Dedicated to his clients and proud to be with At Properties, let John help you buy or sell today. Visit nexthomehere.com or call him at 773-895-1467. That's 773-895-1467.
All right, folks. Hey, I was at the closet this week. I was in the closet for this past week for our gay idol, which continues to be this huge, big, wonkin' thing. And I want to give a shout-out to Kevin, who I saw at Crew, which is not, I think, the same Kevin that emailed and said, "What happened to Peter?" Well, Peter is off doing his own thing.
He's actually traveling right now, isn't he?
I think he's been traveling, and he got a promotion at work. And so he's not a part of the Queercast anymore, but you can obviously check him out at Radio Peter. And his life has gotten big and full. And so that's why I'm so thrilled to have Steven Rader on with me and Alexander Billings, who we're having. I get to talk to Billings now because we're podcasting together.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
You can't get that woman on the phone.
Okay,
and all of a sudden you're chatting about freaking, Marianne from Gilligan's Island with her.
I love that. I want her mugshot. Can we get that?
That story about her and the hooker outfit?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's hilarious, right?
Because I can picture it.
Oh, well.
I can see her in that outfit.
Yeah. I was just in an office the other day here in Chicago, and I saw a poster of her doing Vampire Lesbians 20-some-odd years ago. I told her last night, I said, "You were a mere babe. Wow." It's hilarious. But anyhow, also coming up next week as we celebrate our 200th show, you're going to hear Deb Pierce on here for the first time since I was in Toronto and met Deb. She is the lesbian DJ of Proud FM in Toronto and is coming to join our family. And on our next show, so excited to have, we're interviewing him, Coleman Domingo from the Big Gay Sketch Show on Logo, who is going to be our newest guest co-host. Coleman is African-American, an actor, a comedian, just all-around fun guy. And, and giving us a New York perspective on the queer community. So we've got the Southerners, the Chicago slant, the L.A. from Miss
Let's call
Billy.
It West Coast, East Coast.
Coast to Coast.
White trash. Let's call it what it is.
That's what it is.
We're going to bring you the white trash perspective.
I think that's good. So speaking of white trash perspective, Leno. You know what? I don't like Leno. First of all,
thing.
He bugs the hell out of me.
You know, you're going to think I'm weird about this.
Okay.
We're talking about this Leno thing where Ryan Philippe, is it Philippe or Philippe?
Philippe.
Philippe, oh, pardon moi. Philippe.
I think it is, Ryan Philippe.
Philippe, whatever, curly hair.
He's from Nashville. He's white trash too.
I got an Oscar and my husband. That's what it is, basically.
He's cute, though.
He's very cute.
Hunky chest.
I wouldn't kick him out of bed. I wouldn't kick anyone out of bed.
Except to fuck him on the floor.
We got an extra man. Bring him along. He's 98. Yep. Bring him. He's dead. We'll prop him. Bring him. But he was on the Leno show, and Leno was talking about his first gig about...
One Life to Live.
Oh, thank you. Look at you. And
I'm a bigger gay than you are, but it's okay.
I don't watch the soap operas unless they're at night. But he was playing a gay character, right?
He was playing a gay teen on
gay
One
teen
Life to Live.
On One Life to Live.
I don't think that was back when they didn't really do anything. It just said he was gay or something.
Yeah.
Not like today, where they're kissing and they're actually having...
They're having anal sex on, yes, on the screen.
At noon.
At noon.
Anal sex and, at noon.
And I'm never leaving the house. So, but he, but apparently Leno said something about that and said, look at that camera and give us your best gay look, yeah, or something. And then said, well, imagine so-and-so is just ridden in on the range and he's from Wyoming and he's really hot. Whatever. Well, I watched this clip before the whole rigmarole happened and I thought, why is Ryan Philippe being such a prick?
Oh, really?
I really did. I thought he was like, dude, just stop this. And I thought it was all like good-natured, you know, sort of like talking. I didn't think it was, I didn't think it was homophobic. I swear to God, I didn't. And then I watched the clip again and went, okay, what am I missing? And I watched it again and I went, what's the big deal?
The thing that's a red flag for me is that when Larry King, the young 15-year-old kid, was killed, mm-hmm, and killed because a fellow classmate, yes, was upset with him for, you know, asking to be his Valentine or whatever. You know, and Ellen DeGeneres came on her show, and I applaud her greatly, and she said, look at, wait and watch and count how many times being gay is the butt of a joke. Yeah. And he was making a joke, and it was really inappropriate because, you know, it was about this film Stop Loss,
yes,
which is a war film done by Kimberly Pierce, who's, mm-hmm, an openly gay director who... You know, just whose last film was Boys Don't Cry. I don't know. It just felt like it was wrong. It was the wrong moment to do it.
See, I totally get that, but I don't think that was even in Leno's mind.
But that's the point. That's the point, that to make him be gay and give a gay look. I mean, it would seriously be like asking, would you ask some black actor to... I don't know. I mean, you just wouldn't.
I think I just kind of think it's, well, here's the deal. I don't know where the line is, because what you say is right.
Right.
I mean, here's this kid who was killed because he asked someone to be his Valentine. But
I just think Leno has that kind of blue-collar crowd watching him, and so that is the easy joke.
I do, but do we, I'm so afraid that we're getting to a place, whether it's gay people or the society in general, that we're afraid of words, or we're afraid of humor, and we're sort of putting these overarching, politically correct, you know, monikers on everything, so that we can't do anything. And I've always said that I'm not worried about the person who driving down the street who says faggot. I'm not worried about that guy, you know, because, yeah, I'm worried about the guy that, you know, takes me out behind the barn and pistol whips me. That's the guy I'm worried about. I mean,
But how does one lead to the next?
I think if you deny people the ability to express themselves. I mean, I don't like, what's her name? Sally Kern? Is that her name?
Yes.
Sally Kern.
Oklahoma,
I don't like what
rep.
She has to say. I think it's disgusting. I think she should say it. If that's what you believe, say it. Why should
she
not
say it? The
point
was, she said it behind closed doors and she didn't say it. Now that it's out in the open, she won't apologize.
Or apologize.
Yeah, but she did meet with people.
I don't know. There's just something about... to me, if you don't like gay people, I want to know it. You don't like gay people, you hate gay people, you think we're disgusting, I want to know that so that I know where I stand with you. Because I really think that if we tell people what they can and cannot say, if we tell these people that hate gay people, you can't say that, then they're going to stifle that. And then a year from now, we're going to be, you know, they're going to go out. I didn't really... mess somebody up.
So I have a question for you, which came up this morning, actually.
Oh, God.
Do you say the word faggot?
Oh, yeah.
All the time?
I say it a lot.
And do you say it in reference? Do you say it in reference to somebody?
I'll tell you this. This is my favorite story, and it made this issue completely understandable to me when I was 17. I was dating this guy from another high school. Completely weird in 1980 that I was dating another guy in high school, unheard of. And I came home and I said, you know, I was crying when we were together, and I said, they called me a fag today in school, and I was crying about it. And he was a year younger than me, and he said, well, are you? And I said, yeah. And he went, well. And something in my brain just clicked. It was like, that's right. I am. So that's a word I embrace, and it's my word, and you can't hurt me with it. I was sitting up there when I was dating this guy at Belmont and Racine, and I just bought him flowers. He was opening a show. He's holding the flowers. We're waiting to cross the street, and this guy drove by, two guys, and a guy leaned out of the car door and said, "Flowers for your boyfriend?" And I went, "Yeah." Yes. And it was like, there was nothing else he could say. Yeah, that's right. It's like the word cunt in vagina monologues. If I embrace it and say it, then it can't hurt me because it's a word. And those words aren't something that I'm afraid of anymore. I'm afraid of the people who really hate me. You know what I'm really afraid of? I'm really afraid of my friends, pardon me, who say they like gay people and gay people are fine, but don't want to see us kiss because that's a little too much.
Right.
Those are people I'm afraid of. And I'm afraid of the people that are not allowed to say these words and repress that anger and resentment towards us and then might act on it. I know I'm very much in the minority here. Very much in the minority. But I don't understand why we can't sort of, you know, get over it. It's a word. Are we all in ninth grade or something?
I don't know. It's complicated. What we're going to talk about this more, you know, because I asked Alexandra Billings what she thought about the word tranny. Yeah. It invoked a very large conversation, and I think that there's a...
And I've heard here, and she's going to get pissed off at me, I've heard her say that word in a cabaret. One night she said tranny hooker, and I was at the Gentry, and I went, tranny hooker? You're saying the words tranny hooker? I think we all sort of have those words that we, you know, it's maybe it's the intention, I don't know, but that word can't hurt me anymore.
Right.
You know, period.
Well, that's...
Now, bald...
Now, that, bald...
That word can hurt me. Bald, white trash, that'll hurt me.
That doesn't hurt me.
Large penis?
I embrace
that'll hurt
white
me.
Trash.
That'll hurt me. Yes.
Large penis?
Large penis, yes.
That hurts
that
you?
That hurts me, because, you know, it's true.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.
Bittersweet memories. That's all I have and all I'm taking with me. We both know that I'm not